Good morning. Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied to each of you today. As you know, I have been, by God's grace and help, seeking to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. And today it's Matthew 7. Verses 1 through 6. And I wrestled with that a bit. I wasn't sure whether that is in season for today. So I wrestled with that a bit as I pondered things there with concern and desire to speak rightly, fitting word in our season that we are in as a body here at Joy. I did feel I got a clearing to stay the course and stay with the Sermon on the Mount and stay with the coming flow of text that would be coming next. So if you want to open your Bible to Matthew Gospel, chapter 5. I'm sorry, I said 5, chapter 7. So in Matthew 7, we have these words of our Lord Jesus, "Judge not." Very serious commandment from our Lord. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Very sobering, serious admonition from our Savior, our Lord Jesus. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Jesus reserved the next words we're going to read as a very serious address a very serious charge. He said, thou hypocrite, so in this whole matter, the There's a warning and a danger that I can be snared by hypocrisy and be a hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I'd like us to kneel together for prayer. I know when we were back at Springville School, concrete floor, and we didn't very often kneel for prayer. I believe our facility that God has granted us to have here, it's very fitting for us to kneel for prayer. So those of you who are able, and as our dear Horning ministers would say, like-minded with me, let's kneel together to pray. Father, it is with willing, thankful hearts that we bow our knees to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we humbly ask in the name of Jesus for your living word to speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name for the blessing of the Lord to be upon every heart here today. Lord, I especially have a desire and a careful concern that no tender heart, humble, yielded, submissive heart, would be condemned by this message. Oh, Father, please. Just like when Jesus spoke these words, grant us, oh, Father, that you would speak these words to us today with love, with compassion, and with truth and grace. Father, I ask very specifically in Jesus' name, minister life and grace to each one here today. And Father, protect us and deliver us from the enemy of our souls, the accuser who accuses the brethren. Father, comfort, comfort, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. But then also, Lord, we are very jealous that your word would come like a fire and like a hammer to break the rock in pieces where there's sin, where there's blindness of heart. Would you speak and open up eyes? Father, grant us today that we could be of those that Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. Father, would you visit us here at Joy Fellowship with the visitation by the Spirit of God, that we wouldn't just pass it off, but Lord, that we would encounter you. And Father, that judgment may begin in the house of God, where we are in error, where I am in sin, where I am not in right alignment with you, Lord. Oh, Father, would you speak to our hearts, and would you bring conviction by the Holy Spirit, and would you bring comfort and rest by your Holy Spirit? Your word is like a fire, it's like a hammer. Your word is like a gentle dew and gentle rain. So, Father, I am asking you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Wayne, for the table. The beautiful work of the craftsman. Wow. To think this was once just a tree out in the forest. And here it is, such a beautiful table. I wanted to start with verse 6 simply because our main focus today is going to be on Judge Not. The title of the message is Disciples Indeed, Judge Not. And this is message number 10 in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. So I chose to take sort of two different subjects here, and yet they're related some. So I chose to do the first 6 verses. And verse 6 says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." I wonder, as Jesus was sharing those words, what exactly did he have in mind? The Amplified would bring it out this way: "Do not throw your pearls before the pigs," swine or pigs, "for they will trample them under their feet and turn again to tear you to pieces." They will turn and attack you. They will not value that holy commandment of God, the pearls of God. We have Proverbs 9 where it says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." Jesus gave a couple other clear remarks in his teaching. Let's turn to Matthew 15 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 15, maybe we should begin in verse 12. And again, we're not getting the whole context, but he says there, "The disciples came and said, Knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And then he says these words, Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So Jesus said, "Let them alone." He identified a people group that somehow In their theology, they didn't have room for Jesus' teaching. And they were offended at his teaching. Now, if we go over also to Matthew chapter 10, just turn back a bit to Matthew chapter 10. And there we have another example of Jesus giving instruction to his disciples in Matthew 10. We'll begin there in verse 11, where he said, "In whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So if there is not a reception to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this town or this city or this house, if they will not receive you or hear your word, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And then he makes an astounding remark. "It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So maybe you have thoughts. What did Jesus intend to have us understand about not casting pearls before swine? Any thoughts? Anyone care to offer a thought here as we consider this? When is it time to shake off the dust? Anyone have any thoughts? Or was this maybe still a bit of an old covenant teaching? Because the new covenant was not yet instituted. Marcus. Yes. Thank you for that. Would we identify and bear testimony with that, that that was probably the right thing to do, to pull back at a time like that? Yeah. I think many of us have been in cases where, as we were sharing the gospel or witnessing to someone, and there was such a strong rejection and a blaspheming of God and his word, that we felt the Spirit of God within us that it's the right thing to do to pull back at that moment. I see some heads nodding. I think we've had that experience. Now, on the other hand, it has been amazing to me to see how God has used his servants to declare the gospel in the face of evil, to the point even of martyrdom. And there was this group in a heathen country, I don't have the story in front of me, But they went in as a group of men and preached the gospel, and they were brutally wounded, and a young man was killed, a young husband was killed, and later his wife got the command from God and the witness in her heart that she should go back with another missionary team to make another effort for these people. And she went back, and when they were ready to kill this next group that came back, because they had warned them, don't come back, then she said, I want to speak. I am the wife of the man you killed. And it stopped them in their brazen brutality to take out their weapons of death and destruction. And she was able to share that she, through Christ's love in her heart, can forgive those who killed her husband, and that she wants them to know this Christ. That's why she came back. And the account goes on to say how that there was then conviction came and people were saved. So I think we want to be very careful with this, that we do not too quickly just cast it off and say, well, they don't want to hear. So it's like casting our pearls before the swine. But I think we need the wisdom of the Spirit of God upon our hearts to know when that it is time to not take the precious pearl of Christ and have it to be blasphemed against. Thanks for that input. If there's anyone else has another thought, I'd be very happy for it to be shared. Any other thoughts on these teachings of Jesus? It's a lot of wisdom in this room, a lot of experience. Anyone else want to share something? Yes, Earl. Yes. Yes. Right. Earl just shared that if someone's under the influence of alcohol or drugs, you know, and it's just the message is not getting through and they're just becoming arrogant and defiant. Yeah, so we need wisdom, definitely, the wisdom of the Lord. Because we know of many testimonies where there was a persistent love that just chased after that individual. And one day it broke through and they got converted. Praise God! Oh, yes. All right, well, we're going to sort of turn the corner here now on the matter of Jesus' teaching on judge not. So to understand this, what I did is I took the Strong's Concordance and the word judge, where Jesus said, judge not, and see where else that is found in Scripture and in teaching. And I think one of the clearest ones that I found was the same Greek root word is found in John 3:17, where it tells us God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we could say, as far as this matter of judge not, condemn not. Now, does this mean, as far as judging, that we should not judge anything or have a discerning judgment upon a given situation? Well, Jesus in John 7:23 and 24, it's when he healed a man on the Sabbath. There was, again, a rejection of that and a resentment and a speaking against it. And they said, you broke the Sabbath. And they got angry at Jesus because he made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath. Then Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So judge not according to the outward appearance, a superficial judgment, but rather judge righteously with an inward reality of a desire to understand and judge righteously. I think that speaks very directly to my own heart, to all of us. To judge not according to the outward appearance or what things may look like on the surface, but to have a heart to really understand and know the truth. Amplified Scripture teaches it this way, paraphrased, do not judge and criticize and condemn others unfairly. And then with an attitude of self-righteous superiority, so that you will not be judged unfairly, for just as you hypocritically judge others, so you will be judged. And in accordance with the standard of measure used to pass out judgment, judgment will be measured to you. These are very sobering words. They're very serious words. He said, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the outstanding, shocking, horrific, appalling log that is in your own eye? And this is amplified. Why do I not notice my own sin? Why do I look at the speck in my brother's eye, but I'm blind, unaware, or too proud, or hardened in my own heart to acknowledge my own need? And to others, it can be very apparent, and it's appalling. It can be shocking. Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye? How can you say to your brother? You know, I believe this teaching that Jesus was giving is meant for the church. It's meant for the body of Christ, because he didn't say, the heathen out there, those publicans and sinners, but he said, your brother. Somebody mentioned relationships this morning. I believe it was mentioned in our Sunday school. Relationships. Relationships with my brother. Relationships with my spouse. Relationships with my boss. Relationship with my dad. Relationship with my mom. Relationship with my youth. My children. Relationship with my deacon. Relationship with my elder. Relationships. How many relationships have been adversely, negatively affected by a judging attitude? A condemning attitude. Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye. But there's a log in your own eye. Let me help you get rid of that speck. But you can't see past the log in your own eye. You know, when I had my retina detachment in this left eye, I was driving and I had this mug of water. Could have been anything. And as I was driving and I took a drink, mug was a little toward mid-empty, so I had to put it up high to get water out of it, and it covered my right eye, and then I realized I can't see when I do that. It frightened me. It was shocking. I can't see when I do that. Really? Yeah, for real. Well, then I went and put my hand over my eye, and then I really knew. It's all dark except just a little sliver of light on the top. So I was out on Route 23. I turned around and went home and told my wife about it. And we called down to Granite Point, where I had gotten surgery on my right eye cornea transplant. And they said, you need to come in right away. And of course, long story. But anyway, you know what? It's just how when we have this log in our eye, we can't see. This beam. I would like for two of you young men to go fetch the beam. Wayne brought a beam for me. It's right over here in the hallway, he said. Go ahead, two of you strong young men, go fetch that beam. All right? A little illustration. You see, I'm pretty young at heart yet. I'm only 68 and still young at heart. I love illustrations. And you know, Jesus used illustrations in his teaching. All you children this morning, this can be your children's lesson. So now, hold up that beam here. You can stand more in the alleyway here. And Trevor, come on over here. So Trevor, you just hold that one there. Now let me think, how am I going to act this out? You know what? Actually, we're going to get another one here. Ooh. Yeah, this will work good for the illustration. This one's even bigger. So Trevor, just stand there beside Duran. I know it, but I guess it's my moment of blankness. So, okay. So here we go. Hold it up a little higher. And so here I go. I've got this, let's turn a little bit this way so people can see better. So I've got this, I got this beam in my eye. So Trevor, you stand beside Duran. And I've got the beam, and I want to go and pluck out the speck from Trevor's eye. So Trevor, let me help you. I see you got a problem. Let me see if I can get that out of your eye. But the big beam is just going to hit him and keep pushing him back. So if you do it again, so let me get up there a little closer. It looks like you need a lot of help. I want to get that speck out of your eye. You've got a problem. But see, I can't because of the beam in my own eye. All right, thank you, men. Very good. How was that, children, for your children's lesson today? So first, take the log out of your own eye. So what is the log? How can we get this very practical here this morning? You know, what is that log? Jesus identified as a speck and a beam. So Jesus used an illustration that was just, I believe, shocking to the people. Because he says at the end of his teaching, they were astonished at his teaching. What might that log be that is in my eye? I think we already touched on it. That log, I believe, at least we can make this application. It may be a lot of applications. But that log, I believe, is my own self-righteous attitude toward others. It's when I criticize and condemn others, and I even go so far as to judge their motive. And I make accusation against my brother that is very hurtful, very unfair, judging even their motives. I don't know their motives. If I have an attitude of superiority rather than a humble attitude toward my brethren, counting my brother more higher esteem than myself. But if I have a superiority, self-righteous attitude, I'm not like other men are. Remember that guy? Went up to the temple and he stood there by himself and blessed God. I'm not like other men are. I fast, I pray. I'm surely not like that sinner over there. Hey, thanks, young men. Thank you for helping me in that illustration. Really appreciate that. Relationships. This is so critical. It has an impact right now on your marriage, on your work relationship with your boss. It has an impact on our relationship here at Joy Fellowship. It has impact on my every aspect of my life now and judgment to come before the judgment seat of Christ. As I have judged others and condemned and held their feet to the fire, so God will hold my feet and your feet to the fire with the same judgment that we have judged others. In accordance with your standard of measure, used to pass out judgment to others, judgment will be measured to you by the righteous judge who knows the thoughts and the intents and the motives of my very heart. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? The Amplified paraphrase brings it out like this. Believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not speak against one another. Do not slander one another or judge your brother hypocritically. If you do this, you speak against the law and are become a judge of the law, and you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. And there is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, the one God who has the absolute power of life and death. But who are you? Who are you, Aaron, to hypocritically pass judgment on your brother? In Romans 14, he says, let not him that eat despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. And again, he raises this question. Who art thou that judgest another? The Amplified, do not look down on the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat must not criticize or pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has accepted him. And then he raises the question, so who art thou? And we might say it like this in our present day English, so who do you think you are to make yourself judge over another man's servant? You know, have you ever been around a person? They are just critical. I mean, they're just critical. They're finding fault with everybody and everything. Is that in me? Am I like that? And I don't even recognize it. I don't even see it. Do I really want to know? Am I like that? Do you really want to know? Am I like that? Have I done that? Do I do that? Am I judging? I'm critical on my brother, my sister, my dad, my mom, my spouse, my deacon, my elder. Do I despise people? Did you see what he did? You see what she did? And we despise them. Like that Pharisee, he despised others. Jesus said it that way. They're the people that they despise others and pat themselves on the back. Again, I just say, dear brother, sister, if your heart is clean and pure before the Lord, this message shall not condemn you. No condemnation. But if your heart is not pure before God in these areas, and you have judged your brother, your sister, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you even now, I have been critical. I have taken sides with the accuser of the brethren to accuse my brothers rather than to believe the best. Rather than to affirm and encourage. Now there is a time to address one another with the specks in our eyes. It doesn't mean don't do it. He's saying examine your own heart first. And be honest before God. And repent of your critical attitude. Repent of your self-righteousness and of holding others' feet to the fire, but giving yourself a pass. I mean, sure, I can do it because I know my motives. My motives are pure. But I judge him because I say his motives are bad. He's just simply, Lord, judge not, condemn not, but judge righteous judgment. doesn't mean we have no opinion about anything, no discernment. But we don't have a critical attitude. We desire to be helpers of one another's joy and helpers of one another's sanctification and perfection in Christ. James 4:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Oh, but the wisdom that is from above is pure. It's first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, and easy to be entreated. So when we come with love and grace to help a brother or a sister, have you thought about this? I care about your spiritual well-being. May I speak into your life? Something that has concerned me, something that I see in your life. Oh, the wisdom that is from above. It's entreatable. It's full of mercy, without partiality. Hey, why don't you go talk to him? Why are you coming to me for? Oh, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first with us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? You know, today, if you hear his voice, thank God. Oh, I love my brother Elmer Peachy in the way he said it different times. I love conviction. I love the chastening of the Lord. It proves I'm a son and not a bastard. Do you love conviction this morning? Has this message provoked something in your heart to conviction? I am judgmental. I have wrongly judged my brother or my sister. I judged their motives wrongly. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Let's welcome the judgment of God to our hearts today. Let judgment come early. Oh, I like that. That our sins can go beforehand to judgment. And you know how they do that? It's when I'm honest about who I am and I am willing to humble my heart and repent and not just sweep it under the rug and say, oh, well, I can't. I just don't get along very good with that person. I just can't. I can't stand them, but you know. No, you know, the enemy of our souls wants to just bring a little bit of strife, a little bit of disrespect, dishonor. Accusation. To just bring a lack of unity in the faith in Christ Jesus, in the body of Christ. So I urge us today, oh, in Jesus' name, that we come to Jesus. And we earnestly pursue, endeavoring that, keeping that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I urge us, let there not be generation gap. I love you, young people. Boy, if I could, I'd be 18 again. I love you, young people. I love you, little children. Oh, I love my brother Earl. I love those that are older than me, Brother Lawrence. Let the older and the younger have that beautiful bond of love one toward another. And hey, let's just wash away that generation gap. We younger need the older. In 1 Peter, he said, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Then he said, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Oh, but he gives grace to the humble. So see, we older men, we need you younger men. And you younger men, may I say it, need us older men. And you younger sisters, you need the older sisters. And you older sisters, don't miss out on the blessing the younger sisters can be. We all bring our gifts to the altar before the Lord for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, God bless you. I love you. You know, I just urge us, let's not just let this run off. If you're convicted that, you know what, I have failed my brother or my sister, I have judged them. I have not been receptive. I have not received them, like it says in Romans 14. I'm mature, I eat meat. Ah, they're just so immature, they don't eat meat. And so I'm judging them. I just want to urge us today, if we are aware of any breach in relationship where we have not honored and respected and submitted one to another, let's make it right. Let's take care of it. That the blessing of God can flow down upon us and there can be a beautiful unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. Oh, I have that confidence. Like Paul said when he gave a little correction, I have confidence. You shall receive the word of the Lord as from the Lord, not just my words, from the Lord. And you shall keep it. You shall practice it. You shall apply it into your lives, and it shall be a blessing to you. Let's kneel together in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, we love your teaching. We love your doctrine. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love your words. They are life and spirit. And Father, we receive them with meekness into our hearts. And Lord, today I ask very specifically in the name of Jesus, oh, Father, where there's any matter of a wrong attitude and heart, where I have been critical or I have judged my brother or my sister, and it has wounded, it has hurt, Father, bring that conviction upon my heart. Show me my sin. I want to see it, Lord. I don't want to go on in blindness and in arrogancy and pride and self-will and stubbornness. But Lord, I want to be cleansed and washed in your precious blood and healed and delivered. Oh, God bless every father, every mother, every son, every daughter, brother and sister here in the fellowship. Oh, God, that by our love, as Christ loved, we may love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word. And thank you for not condemning us and throwing us under the bus, as it were. But you invite us to come. Come again. Yes, there's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, we come again to the fountain, the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes us from our sins. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, bless the body of Christ here at Joy Fellowship. Thank you for the love and the unity we share. And wherever it is wanting, oh Lord, we believe you to come and minister that beautiful grace to our hearts, that we may yet grow more and more into the image of Jesus and Christ be formed in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for your kind attention and reception. God bless you. We love you. This was also an object lesson illustration, but I didn't get to use it. Maybe next time.